Hello, everyone, and good morning. Welcome to our Big Brother 19 live feed update for September 3rd. I'm your host, Taryn Armstrong, and we're having a party today on the live feed update. We've got two awesome dudes. It's Puya. How you doing, Puya?
I'm good, Taryn. I'm good. Glad to be here. Let's have a good Sunday.
All right, and I've also got John Krause with me. How you doing, John?
I'm doing great. Happy Labor Day weekend to those of the people in the state celebrating. I'm going to dedicate this Labor Day to the hardest working man in reality television, Paul. He's working overtime this weekend. He's not taking any time off. He's working so hard to make sure that we have really boring feeds.
Yeah, he's very dedicated to making sure we are not entertained. So we are here to tell you everything that's been going down on the feeds yesterday. To start the day off, we had basically, again, like a lot of reiterations of plans. But Paul's plan is he's going to try and win this veto. And then if he wins the veto, he's going to use it on Alex. And then Christmas is going to put Kevin up to replace Alex. Paul is then going to vote with Alex to save Jason, which will make it a tie vote. Paul and Alex versus Raven and Josh. Then Christmas will break the tie to evict Jason. Paul will be able to say, "Oh my God, I can't believe they betrayed us." And he will have Alex on his side and she'll be mad at everyone else. Christmas on board with this idea. She's like, "That sounds like a great idea to me." Josh, on the other hand, not so much. John, what do you think of this whole plan?
It's really convoluted, but I've been thinking about it and kind of running it through my head. And it makes a lot of sense from Paul's perspective because Alex is so in his pocket and this keeps her in his pocket going forward. And so far, really, Josh is the only person who has doubted this. Josh has started to realize that maybe all of this convoluted play acting and pretending to be shocked only really benefits Paul. But he also has Christmas in his pocket so well that she's on board with it, like you just said. So everyone seems to be totally fine with it. And it really helps Paul continue to have his hold on the house, and it keeps everyone in those pockets. And, you know, it helps send people to jury without being angry at him. He has no enemies. Still,
Paul has really big pockets. So, Puya, what do you think?
I have to agree. I think this is the part of the tightrope act where everything should go wrong. Paul has to pick a side, or we think he should have picked a side, or Josh definitely thinks he should have picked a side, but he's somehow able to execute exactly what he needs to do to keep Alex with him, keep Jason thinking that he had nothing to do with this, and then moving forward, he believes everyone will be fine with him and he has no blood. The problem being, Josh, being from Miami, has mentioned the Heat so many times. I don't know if he's talking about the Miami Heat or he's talking about himself in the game, but it's not looking good. Like, Josh is definitely woke. We've discussed this multiple times. More than anything yesterday, the big takeaway for me was Josh is not okay with this. And it's one of those things. Let's say one of you lucky gents went on a date with a celebrity.
Ooh.
The celebrity wants you to not tell anybody it's going down. You understand, but in the bottom of your heart, you would love it. You would love if it was known that it's you with the celebrity. It's kind of the same thing with the Josh and Paul of it all and their alliance. Josh wants Paul to make a clear choice. Josh wants other people in the house to finally know where the lines are drawn. But Paul's found this little escape, little route where he can actually keep that hidden. And he's executing it as we speak.
Yeah, I mean, I like it's also, you know, like the thing about it is that Josh wants to have Paul out in the open here. He's very concerned about jury votes, and he's right to be concerned because there's a decent chance that if Josh does get to the end, it might have to be with Paul just because Paul wins so many competitions. And if he's sitting there in the end against Paul, it's going to be hard to say, yeah, I played this game in the best way that I could, because you have Paul who is going to be able to take credit for all of these big moves. Paul kept himself safe. Paul was the one that was in the perfect position and he was keeping Josh safe. He's trying to convey this to Christmas. And Christmas is saying, no, it's good, because if Paul is doing this, then we get down to the end. And Josh is saying, but yes, sure. But that means Paul is doing it, not us. He's going to get the jury votes. And that also means we have to put all of our trust in Paul. And I totally trust Paul. I totally do. Don't think I'm not trusting Paul. But I do think that we're putting ourselves in a vulnerable position. We're letting Paul be covered by all angles, and we're trusting him to protect us. And the thing about that is, again, even if you can trust him to protect you, he is now the one that is doing the protecting. He's going to get all the credit when it comes down to the end, and it's going to be hard for Josh to win the game. So Josh has a lot of valid concerns here, but Christmas, again, not really hearing them because they're coming at this from two competing ideas. Christmas doesn't think she can win the game. I legitimately think that she has no plans on winning the game. I think she's wanting Josh or Paul to win the game. And so she's just trying to get to the end with those two people because then one of them can win. And so from her perspective, this plan makes perfect sense because it allows Paul to maintain control of Alex, and he'll be able to prevent Alex from targeting them if she wins HOH. But again, from Josh's perspective of a selfish, I want to win the game, it's a lot more difficult to get that across. So it's an interesting dynamic here. But overall, they kind of just agree, you know what, it's not really worth talking about right now. We'll just see how the veto plays out. And then if this, you know, comes about, then we'll have to reconvene and discuss this at a later date. You know, we'll see what happens from that point on. We also have Jason and Alex talking to each other. Jason, again, still very concerned about the fact that they were both nominated. They basically agree to use the veto on each other if they win, which was a very strange thing. Puya, what was with this?
I don't know, man. Like I can't fathom it. I don't understand it really. Jason thinks it's a coup. Alex talks him down on that. But then Alex says, well, if you're so worried, I will win the veto and I'll use it on you. And then Jason says, well, if I win it, I'm going to use it on you. It's like when you both open, like when you open the door and you say, you know, go ahead, walk in. And they're like, no, I insist. And you're standing there for 30 minutes wasting time. It's exactly that. If you're both going to use it on each other, might as well win it and use it on yourselves. I think they were both just trying to, like, Jason's paranoid, so he wants to be like, listen, like, I'm not paranoid. Trust me. I'm so not paranoid that I'll use it on you, Alex. And then Alex, on the flip side, is thinking, you are so paranoid that I will win and use it on you so you don't have to worry. So they're both looking at it at the same way, but from opposite angles.
I mean, maybe, you know, if Jason thinks that it's the coup, that, you know, the coup d'etat hasn't been used in several years, that could be a situation that maybe he thinks that both of them will be pulled off the block, if that's what he thinks.
Well, there was a double veto, but nobody decided to go for it.
That's right. They could have gone for it. Oh, that stupid tree.
It is very much like, you know, if we go back to the celebrity date thing, right? It's like, I'll get the I got it. Don't worry about it. No. I'll pay for this. Don't worry about it. It's very strange.
Let's be perfectly clear. If I go on a date with a celebrity, they're paying for it.
Well, I don't know, man.
Just they can have it. They can
You're playing right into the dynamic there. I don't know. I don't know if that'll work out for you.
Well, if it's a celebrity and me, there's no. Well, everyone knows what the dynamic
is. Turning that
there's
one
no
around.
Ambiguity is there.
All right. So then we have the veto pick. We've got Christmas, Jason, and Alex obviously playing. They end up picking Paul, Raven, and Kevin to play in the veto. Josh is the only one sitting out on this one, much to his dismay, because he doesn't want Paul to win this and take Alex down. They play the veto competition, and Paul wins the veto. So really, again, anytime Paul tries to win a competition, he seems to be able to pull it out. John, what do you think of this?
Well, again, I think that this seems like a really convoluted plan, but it's definitely the one that makes the most sense. We've been talking for several weeks about Paul having to throw every single thing from here on out until that final three. But this is a situation where I think it benefits him, because now he has another win on his resume, and it's one that hasn't upset anybody. We have this situation where everyone trusts him so much that no one is upset that he has won it. And he will not have any blood on his hands. When he saves Alex, Alex will be glad. Because I believe the plan right now is for him to save Alex and not Jason. Alex will be happy. Everyone else will be happy because, you know, they're going to backdoor Kevin. Jason will be happy because he thinks that that's part of the plan. Everyone's going to be completely happy. And then when and if it comes to the point where we have this choo-choo tie, and if it gets broken by Christmas and she sends home Jason, Jason will be mad, certainly, but he won't be mad at Paul. So it's this perfect scenario for Paul where he gets to win. He gets to, I'm sure he's been itching to actually try to win something for the last several weeks. It's hard when you want to be a competitor, but you know, you can't because of your sort of strategy. He gets to win. He gets to add another notch to his belt and everyone is completely happy with him. I guarantee on, Wednesday night's episode, when we see the confessionals, everyone is going to be like, oh yes, Paul won the veto. That's good for us. Everyone's going to say that. They're going to show in line all six of the other players being like, Paul wins the veto. That's good for me.
Yes. Everyone happy except for, as Whitney points out in the chat, the millions of people who watch the show. So if you look at it in that way, it's I think everyone's unhappy, really. So, Paul, he ends up winning the veto and he immediately tells Alex, I'm going to use the veto on you. Don't worry about it. And Alex is like, it's fine. You don't have to. I mean, it's not important that you use it on me and take me off the block. Alex just like, she's this perfect combination of like awful to watch, like really mean and also incredibly dumb and terrible at the game. Like there's nothing redeeming about Alex, maybe her competition ability, but she throws those competitions anyway. Like there's speculation that she threw this veto to Paul in order for Paul to not get backdoored, which is just like, like there's nothing good about her. Like usually when there's a terrible person on the feeds, I am the person that's like, look, but what they're doing is effective. I can't say that about Alex. She has nothing, no redeeming qualities. Pooya, save me from this rant right now. I'm just gonna keep going on about Alex.
Don't pass the baton to me because I'm gonna do the same thing. Man, it's ridiculous. Okay, it's absolutely ridiculous. We can't overlook that. It's amazing to me in a house like this where like everyone's just ragging on each other and like this mob mentality. And then we get these little moments of, oh, no, I'm good with you. Like you do your thing. We're good. We're going to use the veto on each other. Like it's a weird like amalgamation of like ridiculously unsavory and then not necessarily you don't need to be friendly, but you're friendly. I've also seen and heard, it looks like she did throw the competition to Paul. Paul has since confirmed that that was the case. And it's just like John said, this was the one week where Paul found one route to save himself and his face with everyone else in the house. And he did. Now, cue it to Wednesday where we get the Andy Heron confessionals of, I feel so good that Paul won the veto. I feel so great about this. This is the best case scenario. And Paul has tried to defend Alex by saying, oh, we should get Jason out because Alex is a rational thinker. No, Paul, Alex is more molded by you. Jason has independent thoughts sometimes,
which is why.
So that's where we're at.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I mean, there was a brief moment here yesterday, shortly after Paul wins this veto. I talked about this yesterday, actually, on the feeds, the feed update before the veto happened, where I was like, there is a thought, there is a consideration here that these next competitions are all going to be mental and Jason is going to be terrible at them, whereas Alex is going to be much better at them. So there is some thought to maybe taking Alex out before Jason. And Paul actually, again, as what is usually what happens, I lay out the week at the start of the week on the feeds updates. And then Paul goes through those thoughts throughout the week just because he's in so much control that he's able to think through all of the different scenarios. Paul considers this option in very much the same way that I did. We're like, maybe it actually is better to take Jason out or to take Alex out first because she is much better at competitions and she's probably going to be able to beat me. He runs it by Josh and Raven, and Raven is fully on board with this. She's like, oh yeah, you're right. Alex is much better. Josh, on the other hand, has been pretty much swayed by Paul's previous argument. Like, we don't want Jason and Kevin to team up. At which point Paul's like, yeah, but does that really matter? Because they can't win anything, right? Like, it doesn't really matter if they team up. Maybe we really should be going after Alex right now. John, what did you think of this idea that like maybe they should take out Alex first?
I think that we're really splitting hairs here. I think if you are looking at competitions in the end game of the season, that you and Paul are both correct, that we have more mental games. And Alex is one of the few people that have taken time to study days and events for the majority of the season. So it is likely that she will win a couple of these. But let's not forget, who is Alex's actual number two? It's Paul. Alex is the most loyal person to Paul, even more so than Josh and to some extent Christmas. Like, Alex will go to bat for Paul every single time. If Alex is in that final three, she is taking Paul. That guarantees Paul a spot in the final two. And I really then think, like, what if Paul and Alex get into the final two? I don't think that she beats him because she's just been so unnecessarily cruel to everybody. And everyone also sees her as one of Paul's lackeys, just like she is. So, you know, yes, if Paul wants to prevent other people from winning competitions, if he wants to be the one to win every single one of those comps at the end for whatever, for his ego or for his resume, then yeah, maybe we should cut Alex before Jason. I do think that Jason and Kevin are unlikely to win anything. But I think either one of those paths still puts Paul at the end and still gives him a win. So I really don't think it matters too much. And so, you know, either way, if I had my vote, I'd get rid of Alex because I don't like just the unnecessary cruelty. There's a certain point where you lose the evil dick, kind of like charismatic evil in the house. And it's just kind of like, it's just upsetting, like when you're abusing an old man and we're all watching just like elder abuse happening. And it's not fun anymore. So, you know, that'd be my vote. But either way, I don't think it really matters for Paul's game.
Yeah, I was very briefly excited about this because it seemed as though Paul might actually go through with this. While he's sort of contemplating all this stuff, Jason and Alex were also talking, and Jason was very concerned. He was like, man, if Paul decides to not use the veto, we're screwed. Like, that's basically what we just did last week, and he could do it to us right now. I don't like this at all. We could be in a lot of trouble. Alex, of course, is like, calm down. It's fine. Everything's going to be okay. Where Paul has based his whole game on friendship. There is no way he is going against friendship. This is all going to be good. Jason's like, oh, okay, all right, we're good. All right, I believe you. And so that conversation happens, ends up being a very important conversation because Alex then later on in the day tells Paul, yeah, Jason was really paranoid. He thought you might not use it, but don't worry, I calmed him down. And it seemed to be at that point that Paul said, yeah, you know what? That reminded him, Alex is completely in my back pocket. Jason has thoughts of his own. That's why I need to take out Jason first. And that's exactly what happened when I was thinking about it. Like, you know, it does kind of theoretically make sense to take out Alex. She's better at competitions, but at the same time, she's so dumb. She's so in Paul's control that it is better, in fact, for Paul to keep Alex in the house. And so he switches back to taking Jason out, and all of our hopes and dreams are dashed. Booyah.
Yeah, and I think to go back to earlier what you were saying about how Josh was not in on this, and I think that's a little bit to Paul's fault because he has spent the last 4 or 5, how many ever weeks, he sets the next target before the current target is evicted, and he pushes that down people's throats. He insists that that's what they need to do. And so far, that's been the case, and that's been the way it's gone. So now you have these two put up. Everything's going according to the plan they made last week. Jason first, Alex next. So then for him to bring it up, of course, Josh is not going to be okay with that. First of all, he hasn't marinated on this new idea long enough. Second of all, he's already doubtful about Paul wanting the betterment of the team, and he's more of a thinking for Paul. And he's not like letting the blood be on everyone's hands, but like it's going to fall on Josh. It's going to fall on Christmas, etc. But no, Paul has definitely made the right choice for himself as an individual in this game to keep Alex safe and to get rid of Jason. Because it's like you said, if he plans on voting with her, we'll know that Paul was with them. He'll believe that's been the case. Then if Alex somehow wins the double or the one after that, she's not going to go after Paul. So Paul's safe with her again. And then in the eventuality that Alex is the one that's going to be targeted at either 6 or 5, I really don't think Paul's going to be the one to BHOH at that point. So he'll be fine. The only thing I don't see Paul going with a non-unanimous at that point. He might just to save face with Alex, but he could also chalk it up to, it was foregone. They wanted you out. I just wanted to keep myself safe. And then Alex will be like, well, I want Paul to win, so that's fine with me. So he's done it masterfully so far. Masterfully.
Something that I want to, I don't think that I've been listening to all of the other daily updates. I know, like from Puya the other day and Liana yesterday. And I don't think that anyone has really underlined enough the fact that this week is almost exactly what happened last week. Both of the people volunteering themselves to go up as pawns under the impression that Kevin is going to be the person that is backdoored, and then having that plan go awry. And the fact that Alex and Jason have really not picked up on it, like you mentioned a second ago, Jason's kind of like, wait a minute, this seems kind of familiar. I feel like something like this has happened before. It's the same exact thing. They sat and watched and were complicit in it happening with Matt and Raven. They were part of that recipe. And now it's happening to them. And they're just like, they have no idea. If I don't know if you guys are familiar with the classic Bill Murray film Groundhog's Day, but imagine if Alex lived in Groundhog's Day. She would never figure it out. It would be like 20 years of the same day over and over again. And Alex would just be like, oh, this is a great day. You know, like Jason is like, wait, I think this might have happened before. And it would just, they would never figure it out. Like they're completely oblivious to the fact that they're setting themselves up to have what happened last week happen to them. And I know we have a little bit of a difference where Paul probably will use the veto, but we're going to end up seeing Jason go home. Jason is having what happened to Matt happen to him less than 7 days later. And he has no idea. And that's incredible. I don't know whether you want to chalk that up to Paul's missed or just like their complete, I don't like to use the word stupidity, but like their complete stupidity. But it's remarkable. I don't think we've underlined enough how this is the same thing after last week and they're clueless.
Yes, Nina was like, I need some psychology on this.
I don't even know. It's like you're brain dead. You can't analyze like when there's no brain activity happening.
Yeah, I mean, it is. It really is remarkable. And, you know, you want to give credit to Jason for being like the only person that's like, hey, I feel like this has happened before. But at the same time, it's kind of like, do you really want to give credit for that? Or do you want to just like not discredit him quite as much? Because it's insane that he even backed away from this idea. He should be 100% paranoid, even with the veto being used, because Paul wanted him to use the veto. Like that was part of the plan last week. And now that Paul is in control of the veto, of course Paul wants to use it because that was the plan. It shouldn't dispel any sort of notion that there's no plan.
It's like if you walk into work one day and you tell your coworkers like, hey, I just drove to work and I got in zero accidents. Like I had zero fender benders. I didn't rear end anybody. My car has not been totaled today. Like who wants to high five me? And it's like, yeah, great. You didn't wreck your car, but like that's the baseline. Like that's what's expected. You know, I don't know that we should give props to Jason for starting to sniff this out. And it's like, of course you should sniff this out.
Yes. And also something I've been noticing, especially lately, in terms of how Paul is doing this and like the kinds of maneuvers that he's working. And as Puyo, you pointed out, he sets these targets well in advance, right? He sets up these plans and what he'll do is he'll constantly harp on reasons like this is why next week or 2 weeks from now or whatever, we need to take out Jason. Jason first, then Alex. And he lays out all of the reasoning and he just keeps repeating it over and over and over until that's the only reasoning that they believe in. And then when the actual decision comes and when he wins the veto or when somebody else wins the veto, he goes, so guys, what do you think? What should we do? And they go, probably Jason first, because if we take out Alex first, then Jason will team up with Kevin. It's like, good call. Cause that's exactly what he told them like 2 weeks ago for like days on end, like over and over and over. And, but he's able to ask them the question. And like, if you pay attention to this, if you're watching the feeds or if you're reading the updates, pay attention to how often Paul will ask a question he already knows the answer to, because he's given them the answer long ago. I think it's very effective in terms of like keeping them complacent and thinking that they have agency when they actually don't. So he's doing this a lot. He's saying, who should we take out? Should we take out Alex or Jason? He's saying, you know, what should we do next week? It's Alex, right? First, right? Like, or maybe we should do something else. And they go, no, Alex next for sure. And then he's like, yeah, good call. So just pay attention to it. I think it's an important part of his strategy here. So ultimately we have Paul switching back. He's going to take out Jason first, and he lets Jason know that Alex has asked him to use the veto on her, and so that's what he's going to do. But don't worry, we're going to vote out Kevin. It's all going to be good. Jason seems relatively comfortable about this. This seems to be the plan moving forward, Booyah.
Yeah, it seems like it's set in stone. Alex is going to get vetoed. Kevin is going to go up. And what I'm not looking forward to is the level of complacent that Alex is going to have once she's off the block and the mayhem she's going to try and stir up with Kevin. Like, we already kind of all know what's going to happen here. It's going to be a 2-2. Christmas is going to send Jason walking. But I don't want the road that we're going to have leading to Thursday. I really don't. And we're going to get it because he's going to get on the block. Obviously, Kevin's going to be a little bit upset. They've kind of ignored him. I've seen stills yesterday and like footage of just Kevin sitting there alone, not doing anything. He walks in to talk to Paul. Paul wants nothing to do with him, sends him off. He walks in and talk to Jason. They talk three sentences. He walks off again. I hate it. I hate it. And I don't like Alex being safe and being off the block. And then not only is her ride or die on the block, so you know she's going to want to try and like stir things up for him to keep him safe. But just the level of uncomfortable I'm going to be leading to Thursday, I'm not going to like it at all.
Yes. We also had a moment where Kevin was trying to, man, poor Kevin. I just feel like Kevin and Paul's relationship has just gotten so dysfunctional where it's just like, Kevin is like, hey, Paul, can we play pool?
Yep.
And Paul's like, no, I'm tired. It's like, just like 5 minutes. We'll play like a quick game.
I really don't want to.
Can we just like talk? Like it's like a really bad relationship where one person is like trying to make it work and the other one's just like so over it, but they're not dumping the person because like they don't want to be done with the relationship yet. So they're just like, do we have to do this? Like, can we just go to bed? Like, so poor Kevin, he's trying to talk to Paul. He eventually gets it in. He's like, just like, can we not take out Jason first? I think that would be crazy. Like, we need to take out Alex first. I am not having this idea of taking Jason out first. Basically, Kevin is intuiting what the plan is, that it's probably going to be Jason. The fact that nobody's telling him means it's probably Jason. And he really doesn't want that. He's not in on this idea that Jason goes first. I think we're going to see a lot of pushback from Kevin, especially with the idea that Jason goes first, but also once he goes up on the block. I think Kevin's going to be pissed, and I think he's going to blame Paul. What do you think, John?
Yeah, I don't know. It's funny that you talked about a relationship falling apart. I mean, if I had a dime for every time I heard the I'm too tired excuse, let me tell you. No, but yeah, I think Kevin is upset. He's getting to a point. We've seen a little simmering, right? Kevin has overall been the most likable person in the season, in my opinion. He's been kind of disappointing from a player perspective, but we've seen like there's a little bit of rage under there. Like he can get worked up, especially when Josh called out his kids and he got really upset on the show. You saw that they aired that. And I do think that once push comes to shove, I think if Kevin starts to get really angry, that we could see some stuff happening. I think that Kevin is self-interested enough that he will campaign against Jason. So I don't think that he will, you know, I don't think he's going to Matt and Raven it and like throw his game out for Jason. So I think that when it's like the two of them up on the block against each other, I think he's going to be angry, but I don't think he's going to take that anger out on Jason. He's going to be looking for, you know, who to blame. And I think Paul is the obvious target, especially because Paul is going to be the one who uses the veto and allows the, you know, the nomination of Kevin to happen. And yeah, I do think that possibly there'll be some pushback from Alex because Alex will continue to be mean to Kevin. So I could see Kevin finally snapping and kind of like yelling at her. Everyone has a breaking point, and we've seen Kevin has veins of ice. But, you know, at some point, I think that he may not be able to take it anymore, and he might get a little bit cross.
Well, do we think that because, you know, Kevin was told there's a plan in place, don't worry, you're going to be safe. If Kevin goes up on the block and Jason goes home and Paul pretends that he was not in on that, do we think that Kevin will at least make an attempt to go to Alex and say, look, I know you think Paul is on your side, but he told me before this week started that there was a plan in place, and the plan was to not have me go home. And now we're seeing Jason go home. Like, Paul is obviously in control of Christmas and Josh. They agreed with Paul. They were all in on it. There was a big plan in place. Like, is he at least going to try? We know it's not going to work, and we know Alex isn't going to believe it, but will he try? And then we can say to Alex, wow, what a dummy you are for not believing Kevin.
Yeah, I think so.
I think right now, current day, current minute, yes. I still believe that once Alex, because like as John has said, we've seen the bit of rage that Kevin has in him that we hadn't seen before. And they have seen this happen. Alex knows she can get a rise out of him. Alex will get a rise out of him leading to Thursday. So with all of this movement that's going to happen, I think Kevin's already not like interested in Alex in any sort of way. I think after that, he's definitely not going to be interested in talking to her in any type of way with the bashing that's going to come come around with the arguments that's going to be thrown around there. The one thing for me is with this 2-2 situation, Christmas is going to save him. Josh is going to vote to keep him. Raven is going to vote to keep him. So I, at the very least, what I see is him talking to those two. Now, the only situation I see where Kevin might go talk to Alex and try and get something going is if Alex wins that HOH. Then maybe Kevin will get the ball rolling because Kevin will know she's going to put him up. Might as well just throw everything he can at her. And as you guys said, probably she's not going to buy any of it anyways. But no, I genuinely think with what we are foreseeing, what's going to happen the next couple of days with these two and the friction that's going to like get further and further, I don't see him talking to her. I really don't.
Whitney does have a history of like, he doesn't like when funny stuff happens. He doesn't like, unless he's the cause of the funny stuff. He doesn't like when funny stuff happens and people aren't aware of it. Like, I know he likes Jason more than he likes Alex, but all week this week, he's been telling Jason, like, they're doing this to you. Like, you need to be looking out. Like, this is what's happening. Like, don't be a dummy. And, you know, like we've seen with Cody or like when Matt went home, like these people that he's been kind of like on the outs with or against or not on the same side of the house with, he still like takes the effort to try to say like, hey, I didn't vote for you. These people are trying to vote for you. I think these people are trying to get you out. And I don't think, unless he's the cause of the funny stuff, that Kevin likes it if sneaky stuff is happening in the house. So I agree with you, Puya, that like, I mean, if someone's so mean to you, like how many bones do you want to throw them? But I do think that there's a history of behavior with Kevin where he does like to sort of clear the air and make it clear, like, this is where this vote was. This is who's against you. This is who you should be looking out for.
Yeah, so Whitney in the chat points out, I managed to forget Raven was even there until Puya mentioned her just now. Raven becoming increasingly irrelevant to any kind of strategy talk.
She's also turning into Matt, so that's very confusing. Yeah. She's wearing all his clothes. She's started eating cereal. She's changing like her makeup regime. It's a little bit more like Matt-esque. So that, you know, I forget occasionally. I'm like, wait, did Raven get voted out? I see Matt. He's eating cereal. He's over there.
Yeah.
There was a couple days ago where she was in full Matt gear, holding a bowl of cereal and just looking up at the camera.
Yeah.
And just hoping they'd look at her. And
master disguise.
Yeah. And Whitney, Raven has not come up until I brought her up. But believe me, it's because yesterday, anytime Raven came up, it was just more ragging on Raven and her ridiculous stories and her family being on the Titanic and her mom and her spine and her pacemaker not being FDA approved. So it's just that stuff. So we're not really concerned with that stuff. And I'm pretty okay with Raven not coming up. And I apologize to all of you for reminding you that, yes, Raven is still in the house.
Christmas had a really great line yesterday. They were talking about what Matt took with him out of the house because he left behind a couple things. And they were like, oh, what did he take with him in his suitcase? And like Christmas said, oh, I know one thing he took in his suitcase, Raven's accent. Because now that Matt's out of the house, that's gone. She's not using her accent anymore.
Yeah, well, on Thursday night, I tweeted out, oh my God, guys, I think I figured it out. I think Matt has warged into Raven. Do you see the shirt she's wearing? This has all been a master plan. And I think this is really playing out here because she continues to wear the shirt. Now she's eating cereal. I think Matt had us all fooled. I think he was a real player here. The reason he was setting Raven up to win the game is because he was planning on inhabiting her body so that he could win with her illnesses as the sympathy card. He knew he could never win as Matt. Unfortunately for him, I think he remains blind to the fact that nobody likes Raven. So, but here's the thing about Kevin. I think what will happen, we have a double eviction this week. Basically, anybody that wins the HOH is going to be targeting Alex. And if Alex wins the HOH, even if Kevin does go to Alex and says, no, look, it was all a plan to get Jason out from the start, Paul is in on it, you know what's going to happen is Alex is going to be like, yeah, right, Kevin. I know that you masterminded this whole thing and you're the reason Jason went home. You're working with Christmas and Josh. You're the cause of all my problems. I'm taking you out in the double eviction. And that's really the strength of Paul's plan, which is that Alex will firmly believe this. I have no confidence in her whatsoever that she'll wake up to anything. I'm pretty sure that in this double eviction, we will see either Alex, Kevin, or potentially Raven, but probably Kevin over Raven. One of them will go in the double. It's hard to see anybody else going in the double.
Something interesting about Kevin's place in the house as the scapegoat is that he is simultaneously like this evil mastermind that is completely undermining everyone. And he's creating all these horrible situations, but at the same time, he is completely useless and he doesn't do anything. And he's a waste of space and he deserves to go because he is useless. So he's simultaneously like the mastermind. Basically everyone thinks he's Paul. He like the one that Paul actually is, they all think that's Kevin, but they also think that he's done nothing the entire game.
Yeah. So finally, we have this whole Josh and Christmas situation play out as well. Josh has another conversation with Christmas now that Paul has won the veto. And he's like, I really don't like this. All the heat is going to go on to me. Paul is going to get all these jury votes. Paul is the one that remains safe. I don't like this at all. I don't think that we should let Paul use the veto. He should have to draw the line right now and not use the veto. It'll be all three of us. The heat will be on all three of us. That's the fair way. That's the best way moving forward for all three of us. I think that's what we should do. And Christmas is actually like, yeah, you know, you're making sense. I'll have a conversation with Paul. We should talk about it. Interestingly, also, in this conversation, Josh brings up Steve Moses and says, this is how Steve won, actually. So Josh, being aware of what he needs to do, I think, in the end, he's very much saying, like Josh is fully on board with this now. Like, Josh fully recognizes he cannot take Paul to the end. And that's what we've been hoping for a while. So if Paul is dumb enough to take Josh to the end of this game, I think we could very, very, very easily see a big upset and Josh could pull a Steve Moses. But what do you think of all that, John?
I think it's too little too late. You know what I mean? I think that we've seen all season. My frustration with Josh is that he does have sort of the like you said, self-awareness. He has a knowledge of this game. The fact that he's talking about Steve Moses, that's important. I think he knows a lot about what he should do or what he wants to do, but he puts his foot in his mouth too much. You know, he's been kind of depressed this week before he had this conversation with Christmas, because he's slowly starting to realize that he probably doesn't have too many jury votes. Even if he is not up against Paul, you know, he just thinks that he's made too many enemies. Like, he's probably thinking like, boy, I really shouldn't have hounded Mark saying like, you're going home. Like, you know what I mean? And it's frustrating. I think it's because he's young. You know, he's one of the youngest people in the house. He doesn't have a lot of life experience. And so even though on paper, he knows what he needs to do, like he puts his foot in his mouth too many times. And so even if from here on out, he plays the perfect game, even if suddenly he evolves and he turns into like the war turtle or something, and like he's the next level, I think it's a little too late. I don't think he has those jury votes. And the problem is that he's sort of made his bed. Like, he has allowed these chess pieces to sort of line up in such and such a way that it's too late. You can't break ties with Paul without also breaking ties with Christmas, because keeping Christmas and Paul together as this threesome has worked out really well for them. But now Christmas and Paul are like this, and you're never going to break that bond. And so it's like, now he either has to break with both of them and become like this rogue agent, which might be pretty impressive and it'll be fun feeds, but that's not going to get him to the end. So like, he basically has this choice now where he can do something crazy and earn some more votes, but that's going to make it not, he won't get to the end that way. Or he can keep quiet and allow this to happen, and then he'll get to the end, but then he won't win. This has really been the season of pairs in addition to the season of Paul. And the thing about these pairs is that every single pair, there is like one person who has good intuition and the other partner just shuts it down time and time again. We've seen glimmers of Jason having good ideas, and Alex is like, absolutely not. With Cody and Jessica, we saw both of them having some intuition, but shutting each other down. And certainly with Josh and Christmas, every time Josh gets this idea, Christmas shuts it down, and Josh can't do it by himself. There's just not enough people left in the house.
Yeah.
Very well said, John. What I want to add on to that is I can think of one or two scenarios. So throughout the season, this is how I firmly believed it to be. Paul is the golden snitch. You catch the golden snitch, it's 150 points, game over. I think Paul walks in through that jury house, they find out who did it, automatically that'll turn some heads around. Automatically that'll garner some kind of respect. Yes, he's ragged on some of them a little too harshly throughout the season. Cody would still probably have issues with him. Mark would maybe Mark's a nice guy. He hugged everyone out. Maybe Mark would be turned on it. Here's my thing though. We are officially at the point of the game now where every person is a veto. That's the biggest worry for someone like Josh. But if Paul makes the mistake that I think he shouldn't make, which is win an HOH between the next two HOHs, I could see, because then who's Josh facing in the next one? He's facing Raven, Kevin, Christmas. Those are good odds for Josh to win it. If he gets the power, I think the more and more I'm seeing now, I want to believe that that is a possibility that could happen. There's a glimmer of hope. But it does go back to what you said with these pairs and how amazingly one person has always been independently thinking and like trying to think outside the box of what they've already created. The other one is just convincing them to stay in the box because the box has gotten us this far. Let's not like start scrap it and start a new plan. And Christmas has done a good job of all this with keeping Josh at bay. Also, another thing I wanted to bring up now that Christmas is being spoken about is how Christmas has worked on Alex. Alex trusts Christmas impeccably.
She thinks they're best friends.
She believes that. Yeah, they're good. And I think after Paul, much to Raven's dismay, Christmas has had the best social game, in my humble opinion. So factors that can lead to a Josh uprising and a Paul downfall. But there's not that many avenues. And it goes back to how it was with this week and the veto implications with Paul. Paul had to win it to get kind of perfect, squeaky clean out of it. I think Josh needs a certain amount of things to fall his way for him to get that hit. But even then, 150 points, the golden snitch, doesn't mean you've won. You could still get 150 points and be losing. So it's interesting. There's much debate to be had. I think that's maybe the most interest we'll get out of the end of the season if that happens. But we shall see.
Yeah, well, Stephanie pointed out earlier, isn't it better for Paul if Josh goes before Raven and Kevin? And I have to agree. I think that, you know, Paul has talked about his hit list, but he usually only talks about it with Christmas and Josh. And so obviously they're not on it. But if I'm Paul, my hit list is Jason, Alex, and then Josh right away. I want Josh out of the house at final five, and then go into final four with Christmas, Raven, and Kevin. You know, you win probably both of those competitions. Then you take out Kevin, go to final three with Christmas and Raven. I mean, that's just like game, set, match at that point. But I don't know if Paul recognizes that because he hasn't talked to us in a little while. The only talks he's had of his plans have been with Christmas and Josh. So it's hard to know whether or not he knows that he needs to take Josh out. The last time he talked to us, he talked about Josh being in the end game with him, that he trusted Josh and that he thought that he was a good person to have in the end. So I don't know if he recognizes this. I haven't seen any indication that he realizes just how doubtful Josh is of his position, but that may change as we're talking about this now. You know, Christmas was pretty careful in her conversation with Paul to not reference Josh as the person that's really, really doubting this. But Christmas had this conversation with Paul that she agreed she'd have with that when she was talking to Josh, where she was like, I don't know if this is the best plan that you should use this veto. I don't know if that makes sense for us. But Paul really just laid it out like, no, this is why it makes sense, because I'm going to be able to protect you guys again. Like, Christmas's goal, get to the end of the game. And Paul is able to play up to that. Like, no, this is why it works, because I'll be in with Alex. I'll be able to use her and get her to protect all of us. She'll go after Kevin. I can even get her to throw the HOH if I need to. This is all going to happen. It's all going to be good. And Christmas fully buys it. So when she talks to Josh later on, she says, look, I pushed back hard, but Paul explained it all to me and it makes sense. It's like chess. Like, we need to trust him. He's going to get us to the end, and you can't focus on jury votes. You need to just focus on getting to the end. And that's really, I think, Christmas's philosophy. And it's really clashing with Josh's, because Josh wants to win, but Christmas doesn't see that and he can't get her to see that. And so we end up, you know, leaving the day off with Josh's doubts yet again being quelled. And moving forward, it looks like this is going to happen. Paul is going to use the veto on Alex, and the whole tie vote situation. It's all going down. I think this should lead to a pretty exciting double eviction, Puya.
I really agree. I think so, too. There's a lot of factors to consider. The one factor that we don't need to consider is that Paul's fine. We'll see Paul at Final Five. Easy. But with everyone else, it's going to get a little bit interesting. Alex wins. She puts up. That's the thing, right? It's like, at that point, yeah, she'll put up Kevin and Raven. If one of them wins the veto, she has to put up Josh. And then that could wake Josh up. If Josh ends up staying, that can wake him up and that can get the ball rolling on all this. Raven could win and we will all hate ourselves, but that could also happen. Like, the fact that it's coming out and it's going to be a 2-2 tie going into the double, I really like. There's a lot of intrigue here. A lot of whispers could happen, a lot of snap decisions that we'll see the explanation for in the next episode kind of thing could happen. So I'm feeling confident. We've had a good history of the double eviction way too predictably in the last three, four seasons now. This could be one that could be fun. So I'm excited for Thursday.
What do you guys think the odds are of someone, specifically Josh, maybe voting differently so it's not a tie, right? Like Alex is never not going to vote to keep Jason. Like Alex is definitely going to vote for Kevin, no question. But like the other three voters there, what if someone votes differently to prevent there being a tie? Like I think Josh could possibly, if he's really upset about this and he doesn't see that he's getting any leeway with Paul or Christmas, like what if Kevin just, or what if Paul, damn it, what if Josh just votes to prevent a tie? Like what do you think the odds are of that?
To get Kevin out?
Yeah, just I don't know, just to like just to not have it go Paul's way.
Well, like the thing is, doing that would go Paul's way because Paul's done such a great job of keeping these this pair with him in his back pocket, right? And the fact of the matter is the heat will be on him then from the other side. So then from your Raven and your Christmases, and then that's just the thing, right? Right now, it's a little bit what you said. It's a little bit too little, too late. He has to just let this plan this week go the way it is, no matter what, whether he likes it or not, and just pay attention to the next couple and hopefully try and swing a win and then have things go exactly how he wants. By changing the narrative right now, by getting rid of Kevin and then keeping Jason and Alex firmly together, and then, you know, self-fulfilling prophecy of the delusions of just Jason and Alex that they've been good all week and Paul's had their best interest really coming into fruition. And then those three biggest comp threats to Josh sticking together. And then those two win, they go after Josh. So yeah, I really think that's not a good idea for Josh. I understand what you're saying though, about trying to like, you know, stick it to Paul and his ridiculous plan. But right now, it's just he would come back on the radar a little too quickly. And the fact of the matter is, Josh directly after the other two seems like the most bodily capable of like physical comps. And like, I don't know about the mentally aspect of it, but I think you're not necessarily looking at your Ravens and your Christmas moving forward. Josh would be the one you should be looking at. But he's like, Paul has done a good job of keeping him at bay. Christmas has done a good job of keeping him at bay. So he shouldn't spit in their faces by going against them and getting rid of poor Kevin.
Yeah, I mean, the thing Josh really needs to do is prevent Paul from using the veto, right? Because then if he does that, then Alex and Jason are pissed at him and are pissed at Paul. And then if Josh was good enough, he'd be able to swoop in and pick up the remaining person. He'd be able to go in and maybe even switch the votes over and get rid of Alex instead of Jason. Then he can swoop in and pick up Jason and Kevin and be like, yeah, Paul has been playing us all, but now's the time to move against him. You know, make an exterminators like alliance, you know, Andy-esque move there. And then the problem is that he needs Christmas on board with him to do any of that. And Christmas just won't budge on Paul. He needs some sort of dirt on Paul that he can use with Christmas. I think Christmas is somebody that's willing to turn if she feels like Paul has been disloyal to her, but there's been nothing to indicate that yet. So maybe Josh needs to make something up or something along those lines. Obviously, none of this is going to happen. But if we're talking about like how do you dismantle Paul from this game, if you're Josh, I think that's really the only route. And it's going to take a lot of work and a lot of stuff that I don't think Josh is capable of any of it. Obviously, the only other move is to just like get down to the end, hope you win enough competitions to make to the final three and then cut Paul at the last second. But you know, even that's pretty unlikely. So I mean, there are some routes open, but it's just like it's so difficult. Paul has set himself up so well, and he's so entrenched with his relationships that even to get these plans to open up is too much for Josh. He can't even get Christmas to back him on this plan to prevent Paul from using the veto. And once Paul uses the veto, there's really a no-win situation for Josh, as far as I'm concerned. Taking Kevin out doesn't help him at all. It leaves Alex and Jason in the house, still loyal to Paul. Alex will never believe Josh that Paul was in on a plan to get rid of them. And then that will only turn Alex against him. And then Paul will be against him. And I think he'll just go the next week or something along those lines. So it's really a no-win situation here. And that's really been the theme of the season, I think. So We'll leave it on that for today's update.
One more thing. I think we buried the lead on the biggest headline of this entire podcast, but I believe, if reports are correct, that Rob called it. Bobby Moynihan came in the house Wednesday. Wednesday's episode for the veto. Bobby Moynihan did host the veto competition. So ding, ding, ding on that prediction. I think we that's really important. I wanted to get that out there.
Yeah, during that podcast, when Rob had thought of this great theory that Bobby Moynihan was going to come in to the house to host something, and then he asked us, what do you think? Who do you think is going to come in? And we gave terrible answers on no notice, and then he was able to give his wonderful theory. You know, Rob should be playing Big Brother. All right, so yes, Bobby Moynihan from that new show that's something like Me, Myself, and I or something. Who knows? He came in to host this this veto competition. I'm sure it's going to be very fun to watch because hosted competitions are always so much fun to watch. But yes, that is our update for today. We will be back tomorrow at 10 a.m. Eastern to recap more live feeds. We'll be live tonight after the Sunday night episode. I believe Brent will be on. So check out Brent's rants about Alex. I'm sure he's going to have lots of stuff to talk about. And then, of course, Monday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, we will be live with the LFC Roundtable. And then Tuesday, I will be releasing my next interview on the Taren Show. Had a very, very fun time talking with Aubrey Bracco from Survivor. Make sure you check that one out. It was very, very, very fun. I had a really good time. Lots of interesting stuff with Survivor too, just like behind the scenes, sort of like what is it like to go there, come back. And Aubrey in particular, she had a year before the season aired to just like sit and wallow in the fact that she knew she had lost the season. I mean, that's just insanity to me. So she talked through all of that with me. A really great conversation with her. So make sure you check that out.
Hopefully a lot of hairstyling tips too.
Hopefully. So thank you everyone for joining us. We will see you next time.